Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: knowing about God or knowing God. Chapter 3. Distinct covenants and teaching systems produce distinct results. Following the previous chapters, but yet before addressing the central topic of this subject in a more direct way, we would like to present in this new chapter still some other basic considerations about the aspects related to teaching, so that the aimed point may also be seen from a broader perspective. Due to the extent of what may be included in the theme about teaching and learning, it seems to us that a brief analysis of a more general or grouped perspective of the various areas involved in this context is also necessary, which can also be seen from the point of view of the so-called education systems. When the grouping of a particular teaching methodology with a specific profile of educators and with a particular type of content is performed, targeting a specific group of learners, we could say, in some way, that a system of education has been constituted. The use of the term or concept system for the teaching and learning processes, in turn, aims to facilitate the references to the global set of variables that are part of a specific set of teaching or education. The use of system terminology for the sets of teaching and learning processes aims to provide a more abbreviated or a more summarized way to refer to them, without, however, diminish the extent and objectives of each of them. The most diverse civil societies, for instance, are full of different systems of education created from the most varied objectives of these societies. In the world, there are child education systems, youth education systems, vocational education systems, academic education systems, and so on. Once the systems have been established, one can also see in a more objective way that each of them has several distinctions in comparison to other systems. The education system for the training of technicians, for example, is different from the system for the preparation of academics and teachers, as well as there may still be a variation for each of the areas to which people expose themselves to receive teaching. And why would a perspective of the concept of systems of teaching also be collaborative to the theme of more objective knowledge of God and the Christian life? To be able to see the subject related to the knowledge of God and of the Christian life under an appropriate perspective of the conceptualization of teaching systems can be very significant or beneficial, for also in the scriptures can be found the concept of systems used with the intention to show that the processes and contexts of teaching or education can be seen in a grouped way. In turn, the understanding that in the writings of the Bible the processes, the ways, and the contexts of teaching or education are presented under a conceptualization of systems or large sets also makes it possible to perceive the characteristics of each of the large groups in a more evidenced way, as well as the very expressive or significant distinctions that each of them presents in comparison with the others. Although the term teaching or education systems is not directly mentioned in the scriptures, since this type of term is more recent, it is possible to perceive in the writings of the Bible a recurring mention and description of large sets or groups of manners of teaching, each one of them presenting singular characteristics and with significant distinctions regarding the others. For instance, one term that is widely used in the scriptures to house large sets or groups of definitions and elements related to different ways to live and walk in the world, and which, by analogy, could be compared in several respects to the expression teaching system, is the term covenant, as well as some of its translation variations, such as an agreement or concert. The term covenant, several times, is used in the scriptures to make a direct correlation with distinct groups of characteristics, options, or ways of living the life that are available to people, in which a significant part of each of these groups or ways is also closely correlated with a peculiar way of teaching, that is, with a particular teaching system which is, therefore, an essential part of each type of covenant. When a person joins a type of covenant or established a covenant with someone or something, one, implicitly, may also be joining the conditions, instructions, or general principles of life, teaching, or education that are tied to that covenant. A single person, for example, civilly, morally, and spiritually has before him or her a set of conditions that are defined and established for singles. If, however, the single person of our example enters a covenant of marriage, this person, due to the chosen agreement, becomes associated to a spouse and to a series of conditions that are defined and established for married people. In the scriptures, there is a vast diversity of considerations about various types of covenants. However, given the aimed point of teaching and learning of this present subject, we intend to focus here only on the approach of two covenants that receive more extensive and more recurring attention in the scriptures. Likewise, to stay more focused on the theme of the present subject, we will seek to give specific priority just to some points directly related to the teaching and learning aspects offered in these two covenants. Therefore, to carry out the more specific approaches mentioned in the previous paragraph, we would like to use the following text as a reference, and for which we suggest a distinctive attention from the point of view of teaching and from the perspective of the way that God has established for people to come to know Him. Hebrews 8:7-11. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." In the text described above, there is an explicit mention of two distinct covenants and that they also have very different characteristics regarding teaching. In its various peculiarities, both covenants described in Hebrews 8 also present a set of distinct propositions about the relationship of people with their instructions and about the possibility of them knowing God Himself. The first covenant is called the covenant of the law of Moses, of the letter, of the Sinai, or it is also called the Old Covenant. The second covenant is named as the covenant of the Spirit, the covenant of Christ, and as the New Covenant. The first covenant, or of the letter, as already seen in the subject the letter or life, follows the pattern of life where people read what is written and try to live it from the knowledge of the letter and in their own strengths or efforts for later to be worthy of the blessing of God, as if it could be possible for a person to live and walk without ever transgressing the regulations of the written law. The second covenant, in turn, is the one in which eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God are given to the heart of those who believe in the Lord to receive the newness of life to live and walk according to the new covenant. It is the covenant where the Lord Jesus Christ offers to grant newness of life, instruction, and strength so that a person can live according to the will of the Heavenly Father and that one may live this newness of life having the Lord dwelling in the heart. For a Christian or a person who is seeking to learn about the Christian life, it is, therefore, necessary to realize that the distinctions between the two most widely mentioned covenants in the scriptures are glaring, and regarding which the knowledge, the understanding, or the practice of their characteristics may be crucial in the life of an individual. A covenant of the type of the law or the letter is widely distinct from the new covenant already in the fundamental aspects, also extending to substantial differences in the matter of teaching and learning. The difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant is not limited just to the distinct contents to be taught, learned, and followed, but also extends to the way of teaching, to the roles of instructors and learners, and even to the place in which the contents are recorded. The content of the law of the Old Covenant was engraved on tablets made by human hands and should be written in various physical places to be exposed before the eyes of people for not to be forgotten. In the New Covenant, however, the recording of the instruction and the precious principles of God takes place in the heart of the one who receives this New Covenant by faith in the Lord. Considering that in the New Covenant the Holy Spirit is poured out in the heart of those who believe in Christ, God's guidance or instructions are also in their heart, for the primary means by which the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ teach those who receive the newness of the life of the Lord is the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. As previously mentioned, in the new covenant that is in Christ, there are many fundamental aspects regarding teaching and learning that are in fact unique or new, and also for this reason that this covenant is named the New Covenant. Moreover, since the New Covenant constitutes a way of teaching and learning that is indeed very different from the way of teaching and learning of the Old Covenant, we can also expect that the new set or system of teaching and learning assuredly will lead to very distinct results. In the subject The Letter or Life, an example was described of how some people studied, according to the Old Covenant, about eternal life in the Scriptures, without, however, noticing the newness of life when this life placed itself clearly and tangibly before them. Although many of that group received a considerable amount of teaching about eternal life, they were not able to relate indeed to this life that was within their reach, being the teaching perspective that they were using or following precisely also one of the reasons why their understanding was overshadowed so that they could not see what they were seeking so intensively. The results that come from the adherence to each of the two central teaching systems mentioned in this chapter are also evident throughout the Scriptures, of which we recall the text below that was approached more broadly in the same subject The Letter or Life mentioned before. 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Scriptures repeatedly state that the choice for a particular kind of covenant, and consequently also the system of teaching that is part of each covenant, is directly related to the results of the chosen type of covenant and its education system. Many people have failed to enjoy the possibility that God offers them to know Him, in the way the Lord wants each person to know the eternal Creator, because they do not know, do not give attention to the fact, or despise the reality that different types of covenants also have many distinct characteristics of life and teaching. As a consequence of not knowing the new covenant or not conforming to it and its system of teaching, people also put themselves in a situation that deprives them of achieving the beneficial results that are associated with this same covenant and its teaching system. Therefore, regarding the new covenant, it is not enough for a person to have information about it to obtain the immeasurably beneficial results that are available in it, but it is also necessary to begin to expose oneself to the new covenant and experience it in accordance with the way or teaching system that God has associated with this covenant.